When the ADA passed in 1990, Joel Salkoff had been getting progressively disabled for years. An overdose of radiation during the 1970s for treatment of cancer had made it impossible for him to walk unaided. He remembers his relief a few years later when he heard about a job as a technical writer. It was work for which he was well suited.
And the employer was required to overlook the fact that I was sitting in a wheelchair and just simply decide based on my actual qualifications and not based on whether or not I am in a wheelchair.
Once he was hired, the ADA required his employer to make, quote, reasonable accommodations, unquote, to his disability. For example, when Salkoff arrived at work to find that the office machinery was placed on shelves too high for him to reach from his wheelchair,
I could say to my employer, I can't reach the fax machine. Would you please lower the fax machine? And that would be a reasonable request. The question is, what does somebody like me, who has a disability, need in order to get the job done? And what can the employer do to make it easier for me to do that?
Other concessions to reasonable access have proved more controversial in the 20 years since the ADA became law. For example, because of his condition, Salkoff tires easily. Would it be a reasonable accommodation to allow him to save the energy required to get to the office by working at home? Could he complete his 8-hour workday in odd spurts of 4 hours each, so long as his productivity didn't suffer?
One clear way of making it easier is for me to be able to do a lot of my work by computer. It was not part of the culture of my office to allow people to have that kind of flexibility that they could work at home and send in what they were doing. You had to be there in order to be regarded as really working. Since the ADA was passed in 1990, the corporate and business culture has changed considerably, and working at home has become much more acceptable.
Computers also offer remote access to an employer's online server, and it's possible to send documents anywhere in the world at the click of a mouse. Computers have other advantages. Salkoff can research articles on disability issues and any other subject on the Internet without trekking to a brick-and-mortar library. I asked how easy it actually is for people in wheelchairs to get around.
And the answer to that is it depends on what community you live in. When I visit my mother in Greensboro, North Carolina, for example, and leave the hotel that has disability accommodations under the ADA, and I go out the driveway and down into the street and look for a place to eat, I can't get across the street because there are no street cuts.
Still, Salkoff is enormously glad for his motorized wheelchair, which makes it possible to get out of bed, get to the bathroom, take a shower, and get around his apartment.
I can go out, I can go to the library, I can have a meal, I could go to a class, I can meet other people, and I can live a life that is independent.
Yet Salkoff says the design of his wheelchair is flawed. He says that like other technology for the disabled, it may have been designed primarily by able-bodied engineers who did not consult people with disabilities themselves. He wishes, for example, his wheelchair had large pockets he could use while grocery shopping.
The people who design the wheelchair assume that somebody else is with me. If I were involved in the designing of buses, I would not design buses that require people to get off the bus in order for me to get on the bus and have to stand out in 10-degree weather with great discomfort in order to accommodate me. I would have designed them differently.
The problem, says Salkoff, is that institutions often strive to follow the legal letter of the ADA, but not its inclusive spirit. As an example, Salkoff cites a university building that sports a $15,000 wheelchair lift that lets him ride the stairs down to the restroom. But, he adds, the key to activate the lift is kept in another building.
I would like to see a disability movement which will transform the political establishment. Not enough of us are in power.
Through his activism, a blog on disabilities, and a column in a monthly news magazine, Joel Salkoff is working to change that. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.